at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart fall away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Thank you for tuning in to The Gospel Truth with Jonathan Reed right here on Love 860. So open your minds and your hearts to the gospel truth. Here's John.
Thank you. I want to thank the Lord today for this opportunity to be with you another Saturday morning. Thankful for the good word of God, for Jesus Christ who died for the sins of the entire world. I'm glad that God's still on the throne. I'm glad that he knows about everything, and I'm thankful that he's my personal savior. And I'm glad to say that this morning. I'm glad I've been born again. The just died for the unjust. The Holy One died for the ungodly and the unholy. And that's us. He died for the sins of the entire world. And I'm so thankful that he paid that price because nobody else could. The law came, and the law came by Moses, but grace and truth and came by the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is the only thing that'll get us to heaven. And that's Jesus paid it all. He paid the debt that we could not pay. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful that God prepared that ultimate and supreme sacrifice, his son, Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him and on him shall have eternal life and they won't ever perish. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful for eternal life. I'm glad that although this body will see corruption, this body's going to die one day after a while, my soul will never see corruption. My soul is going to be in heaven in the presence of God one day after a while when time is all over. If Jesus doesn't come back soon and I live out my days, I know my spirit will be with God, and I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful to be born again. I'm glad that one day after a while, I'll have a new body, and that was nothing that I did, nothing I could have done to receive this salvation outside of having a broken heart and a contrite spirit and believing the gospel. Not just a little bit of this Bible, but I had to believe the whole gospel, and I did, and I repented of my sins. You know, when I saw myself as a sinner, that's what made me repent. You see, as a young man, you grow up in this world, or a young woman, whoever you are, and you live in this world, and you don't have any idea about salvation. You know, if your parents have taught you, you know there's a God. You know that Jesus is his son. And if you've ever been to church, I hope your preacher's preaching that. But if you've never repented of your sins, if you've never seen yourself as lost and on your way to hell, then how can you be saved? The Bible says, that how can they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how can you believe on something you've never heard? And how can you hear without a preacher? And how can that preacher preach except he be sent? You see, you can't call on Jesus if you've never heard about him. And that's why I'm here this morning. I'm here to tell you about a Savior who's mighty to save. He saves to the uttermost. And I'm so thankful for that because he'll save you no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, any sin you've committed. It's forgivable outside of blaspheming the Holy Ghost. And I'm so thankful that God and Jesus forgives sin. I'm so glad that if we just believe with all our hearts that Jesus died for our sins and that he was buried and rose again according to the scriptures, and if we repent and pour out a broken heart and a contrite spirit, it's that simple. You can be saved. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm glad that a pastor and a preacher preached the truth to me. I'm glad that he told me about a Savior. I'm glad that he told me about a place called hell. And hell is a real place. It's not a fairy tale. Heaven's not a fairy tale either. Those places are real. And one day your soul is going to spend eternity in one of those destinations. And I don't want you to go to hell. I wish to God that everybody would go to heaven. But the Bible says that broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many people are going in that way. And there's a straight and narrow way. And there's few there be that find that one. And I'm so thankful that I'm on the straight and narrow way. And that's not because of anything I've done, not by works of righteousness that we've done, but according to Jesus's mercy that he saved us. And I'm so thankful for the mercy of God. His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting, and his word endures forever. And the word of God is our only hope today. It's our only hope to be saved. It's the precious word of God. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God is what quickens our spirits. You see, you're dead in trespasses and sin if you've never been saved and born again. That's how I was. When I was 16 years old, my eyes were open. I saw myself as a sinner. I knew I needed help. And the Lord was speaking to my heart. but I ran the wrong way. The devil lied to me. I was a procrastinator. I was somebody that liked to put off things, especially my schoolwork. I wanted to put it off till a later date, until right the day before the deadline, and then I'd get it done. That's just the way I was. And that's the way people are with their salvation, with their souls. And your soul is much more important than anything in this world. Your soul is eternal. The Bible says, what can a man give in exchange for his soul? There's nothing you can give in exchange for a soul. There's nothing more precious than a soul, because that's something that's eternal. God breathed life into man, his man's nostrils in the beginning. The breath of life was given to Adam, and his soul was made alive. But later on, when they fell to sin, he had to be made a quickening spirit. And his spirit had to be quickened so that he could be reconciled back to God. And so glad that a sacrifice was provided. And back in that time in Adam and Eve, and even so, when Jesus came, a greater sacrifice was given. And that was the blood of the precious Son of Jesus Christ. And I, like I said, at 16 years old, I heard the truth, and I went the wrong way because I was young. I was dumb, and I still am dumb, but I'm thankful to be saved. But I was so young and ignorant of what God had for me, and I ran the wrong way. I ran in sin for 7 long years. I ran from God. He wanted to save me. I was under a real truth and real preaching, and I went the wrong way. I made the wrong choice. And like I said, I wanted to put it off until later. The devil said, why don't you just wait until you get older to be saved? You said, being saved is for older people. That's for the old-fashioned way. That's what that is. Why don't you live a little bit? Your friends are having all this fun, and why don't you join them? And that sounded good to me as a young teenager. That sounded real good, so I did. And it left me empty every single time. No matter what I did, I tried many different things. No matter what I tried, I always found it to be empty. I always enjoyed it for a little season, a little pleasure. I enjoyed it, and then all of a sudden I'd get tired of it, and I'd move on to something else. And the devil just had me bound up. He had me bound up in my mind and in my heart. I was dead in sins, and I didn't even realize I was on my way to hell. But one day after a while, when I finally bottomed out, I got tired of the way I was living. The Word of God came back to me a second time, and I remembered the Word of God. And I remembered the Spirit of God was tugging at my heart, saying, if you die, you'll go to hell. And that scared me. I was afraid to die. I knew hell was a real place because somebody told me about that, and the Spirit of God is what made me know it. You see, there's nothing I can do to help you. All I can do is preach what God gives me, and the Lord's going to have to do the rest. His Spirit is going to have to deal with your heart. And I'm so glad that when I was growing up in a real church, the Spirit of God dealt with my heart. His Holy Spirit has to draw you. You see, I wouldn't give you a wooden nickel for these preachers out there that preach to what they're preaching. They're not even saved themselves. This Bible is spiritually given, and it must be spiritually discerned. This flesh will profit us nothing, but the Spirit is what quickens. The Spirit is what does the work. The Spirit of God has to use a preacher, and he has to be called first of all, but his Spirit has to move through that man, and whoever it is that's speaking, they have to move through them through the Spirit of God. And if you're not saved, you haven't received the Holy Spirit, your spirit is dead, and you're in trespasses and sin. And I wouldn't give you a wooden nickel for most of the preachers out there. And if all these preachers were real, more people would be getting saved. But it's not the way it is. And that's sad to say. I'm sad to say that there's not many real preaching going on. All those on the TVs, 99% ain't real. Most of the radios, I'd say 98% ain't real. It's a pitiful and sad situation. But I'm so thankful that God has opened my eyes and given me enlightenment. And he's given me understanding on his precious word and how to preach it and how the Spirit of God moves through it. And the Spirit of God is the only thing that can save you. He's the one that does the saving. I can't help you. My preacher said that all those years, he said, if I would to God, I could bring everybody down here to the altar and save you, but I can't. There's nothing I can do to save you. All I can do is preach the word and preach to you about Jesus, who paid an awful price. I thought about the cross. That cross was the sins of the entire world, and he carried it up Golgotha's hill on his back. He bore the sins of the entire world, a perfect and holy sacrifice. You think about it. He that knew no sin became sin for you and I. The one thing that God hates is sin, but for our sakes, he became sin for us. And he blotted out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us. And he took it out of the way and nailed it to his cross. He willingly gave himself. They didn't kill Jesus on the cross. Jesus willingly gave his spirit. He willingly gave his body as a supreme and a perfect sacrifice, the lamb without spot and without blemish. And at the end there, when he fulfilled all things, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He said it was finished. It was over. And that lets me know that there's nothing we can do to get to heaven outside of believing in what Jesus did for us. Outside of the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. When Jesus said it is finished, that's exactly what it meant. That means he had just completely paid the sacrifice for the sins of the entire world. That meant that there's nothing we can do to get to heaven outside the shedding of the blood, but outside of believing on his precious name, outside of believing on Jesus Christ and what he did for you. You see, he didn't just die for my sins. He died for the sins of the entire world. He died for the sins of the ones that crucified him. The high priest in those days, he died for every single person that's ever been. And I'm so thankful for that. He's a loving Savior. He is a loving God. And I'm so thankful for that. He's a God of love, but he's also a God of wrath and judgment. And that's why the hell was created for the devil and his angels. If you go there, you're an intruder. The Bible clearly says that the hell was created for the devil and his angels, and you don't want to go there. There's no exit gate in hell. There's no fire escape. In the end of the book, when you read Revelation, if your name is not found in the book of life, you're cast into the lake of fire, and that's the second death, and there is no escape in the second death. And the smoke of the torment will ascend up forever and ever, and there will be no rest. Think about it. You will never rest if you go to hell. You'll never get relief. There are people in hell right now begging for mercy, begging for God to save them, but it's too late. Don't wait too late. Don't wait too long to be saved. Don't procrastinate like I did. Don't push it off. That's exactly what I did. I pushed it off, and if it were up to me, I would have waited until my deathbed to get saved, but you don't need to do that. You need to be sure about this thing, because once you die, it's over. If you haven't made your peace, call and election sure on this earth, on this life, then you will not make it in. Once you die, once the spirit of life leaves your body and you take your last breath, it's over with. And 2 seconds later, if you didn't believe, you're in hell and you instantly become a believer, but it is too late. Don't wait too late. Don't wait too long. Jesus wants to save you. It says that if you confess with your mouth, Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This salvation is simple. You don't just need to believe it in your mind. It's good to believe that Jesus is real. It's good to believe there's a God. The Bible says that the devils also believe that, and they tremble. It's good to believe those things, but that's not good enough to get you to heaven. This is not a salvation of works. This is a salvation of grace. It's through grace and through faith that you're saved, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God. That means he's freely given it to you. He's offering the gift to you. There's an invitation that's went out. And that's the invitation of salvation. There's a wedding supper that's going to happen one day after a while. And the invitation is for all of humanity. You see, Jesus didn't just die for just a select few. He died for the sins of the entire world. The invitation is for all. All won't receive it. But the invitation has gone out. Jesus wants to save you. He wants to give you peace and eternal life. And when he saved me, he didn't get anything. He got nothing when he got me. But I'm the one that got everything. I'm the one that he changed on the inside. You see, this salvation works on the inside. That's where it starts, and it's born on the inside. When that seed went out from my preacher, when he preached that good word of God, the seed was sown, and it was sown in my heart. And when I finally believed, I finally received it with all my heart. I poured out my heart to God. I remember that morning I was praying the night through, and I prayed into that morning. I fell asleep, woke up praying some more because I needed help. I saw myself as needy. I was on my way to hell. I saw it as plain as day. The Spirit of God revealed it to me, and it scared me. I didn't want to die my sins and go to hell, and I poured out my heart to God. I said, Lord, if it means dying, I want to be saved. If it meant just go ahead and die on the spot, I wanted salvation. And when I poured out my heart to him, he saved me. He washed me, and on the inside, I've been changed. I have new meaning and purpose. I have a new walk, a new talk, and I'm so thankful that Jesus saves sinners, and he'll save you today if you pour out your heart to him. Just give it all to him. Don't hold back, and he'll save you, I promise you. But I see my time is quickly come and gone. I want you to write to me and pray for me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus came home.
Thank you for tuning in this week. If this message was a blessing to you, or if you have any questions or comments, please write to me at P.O. Box 142-631, Fayetteville, Georgia, 30214. Again, that's P.O. Box 142-631, Fayetteville, Georgia, 30214. Please tune in next week. Until next time, friends, may God bless you.